Dan Hicks, longtime Bay Area musician and lead singer of Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks, passed away last Saturday following a two-year battle with cancer. He died at the age of 74. Big fan of Dan Hicks. If you're a morning music fan, you've heard him over the years. And I had a chance to interview Dan back in December of 2004 while at WNKU in Highland Heights, Kentucky, just south of the Ohio, south of Cincinnati. So we'll do that right now, starting with the Dan Hicks tune. From Last Train to Hicksville, sure beats me, Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks. Nice little instrumental tune there. I'm Grady Kay. It's my pleasure to welcome the walking one and only Dan Hicks to WNKU. Thanks so much for coming up today, Dan.
Yeah, no problem, Grady. I'm glad to be here. I don't know if I've ever been in this part of Kentucky before, but so far, so good.
We're darn glad to have you, and you
Thank you.
A fine new CD out. It's called Selected Shorts. And contributions from quite a wide range of folks. You've got Willie Nelson helping you out, Jimmy Buffett, Van Dyke Parks, and Butthole Surfer Gibby Haynes.
Yeah, all good close personal friends of mine. You know, we go to dinner parties together. I babysit for their kids. It's just a close-knit thing out in L.A. You know, sometimes I sleep over. It's just a great, great, great little family, and we decided to put some of it on record. And
talking about your music, I guess we could describe it as a musical genre all unto Dan Hicks. You penned a very heartfelt love ballad, How Can You Miss Me?
How Can I Miss You?
How Can I Miss You When You Won't Go Away?
When You Won't Go Away. Yeah, that was actually the first song I ever wrote back when I was in junior college. And actually, the title was suggested to me. Some guy, he just said to me, why don't you write a song called How Can I Miss You When You Won't Go Away?
That didn't stem from a relationship?
Well, you know, the relationship helped.
Yeah.
It was a relationship, I guess you could. We didn't call it that then. There was this chick, and that helped I guess get the words going. So I don't know. I got kind of encouraged to write some more, you know, and then I gradually started writing some more tunes.
You have quite a style. I want to see if we can get you to play one or two live.
Yeah,
from the
my
new
trusty Gretsch Sierra Jumbo electric acoustic guitar here. This is from Selected Shorts, the album that's been out for about a month, and this is a Barstool Boogie. Let's see. This comes from the idea of there wasn't any room to dance, so they sat right there and danced in their pants. They did the Barstool Boogie. It's sort of like the dance floor is too full, and it was quite the night. On the album, I did this one with Jimmy Buffett, actually, and he's out in the hallway if you want to.
Sure, Jimmy, come on in.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jim, the Jimster. But nice little shy. Actually, still in the car. So I'll do this tune, Barstool Boogie. I wish I was crazy tonight, as crazy as I was that night. Beat got a little too right, and nobody could sit tight, and the dance floor was too full. When the band played a Don't Be Cruel, yeah, the place got a little unreal, 'cause nobody could sit still. Yeah, there wasn't any room to dance, so they sat right there and danced in their pants. Yeah, they sat right where they was and enjoyed themselves, just because they're doing what they do when they're sitting in their seats. They're doing the Barstool Boogie in the seats. They're doing the Barstool Boogie. They're grooving, but they're grooving in the seats. And a little girl was swaying back and forth. She was sitting on a stool, of course. She was getting a little carried away. She was saying all there was to say. When the band broke into Night Train, thought the whole scene would go insane. Thought the walls were gonna fall off the joint, but it did not happen, and here's the point. And nobody had to get up, they could sit right there and fill up with a cup. They're doing what they're doing, they're sitting in their seats. They're doing the Barstool Boogie in the seats. Doing the Barstool Boogie, oh, grooving, but they're grooving in the seats. But do 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 do. Hey, I never seen a club with such a crazy bunch. They was cutting some rug, they wasn't standing much, getting in their licks, sitting around where they sat. They're doing the mashed potatoes and the monkey and all that. They're doing what they're doing, they're sitting in their seats. Barstool Boogie in the seats, doing the Barstool Boogie. Grooving, but they're moving in the grooving, in the moving, in the grooving, in the moving, in the seats.
Barstool Boogie, Dan Hicks, live. You were at the forefront of the San Francisco music scene in the 60s, first with the group The Charlatans. You formed the Hot Licks in 1969. You went solo for a while and formed the Acoustic Warriors, a great CD that came out in the 80s from that lineup. And back with the Hot Licks in 98, Beating the Heat. We were playing that a few years back, and that was a fun one. The story goes, you were the drummer in the group, The Charlatans. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was a band that was, I joined them in 65 and living in the Haight-Ashbury there. So there was five guys, and I had played drums since junior high school. So I was mainly, as far as gigs go and everything, a drummer. But I had a little, kind of a single guitar playing act going, which I had done somewhat, which was my new interest since I was about age 20. Mm-hmm. playing and writing a little bit, but mostly just learning a bunch of different songs and you know, kind of being part of the folk, more or less more of a fan than a performer, but sometimes. And then I kind of moved into the guitar and singing thing while I was in the Charlatans, keeping my folk music, my single act career going a little bit around the Bay Area, and that's how kind of I did the Hot Licks came to be. I just added on, and that, you know, I just wanted to do a more of a quieter, more lyric words and more musical, jazzier thing than a rock band deal.
What led you in that direction, or was there any in particular inspiration? You just didn't want to go the route that everybody else was going.
Well, I come from the, well, I was very much influenced by the folk boom, and mm-hmm. I was a big folk music fan, Jim Questkin's band, and all, you know, bluegrass, the whole, everybody there involved, Colonel Ray and Glover, and all those guys in the folk thing, and Mississippi John Hurt and Jack Elliott, and the, you know, even the groups like Peter, Paul, and Mary, and so I liked all that stuff, you know. So I'm not so sure I wanted to be one of them, but I wanted to be like that more than I wanted to be a Rolling Stone or somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, that was just my taste in music,
sure.
My taste. And I was also always a jazz fan mm-hmm. from way back. That was mainly my and still is my most favorite music. So I kind of, you know, put that taste together, I think, a little bit.
I guess the story goes the Charlatans got their first paying gig at the Red Dog Saloon in Virginia City, Nevada.
Yeah, Virginia City, Nevada.
And that was in the summer of 65. And then after that, you came back and I guess back in San Francisco and opened for a lot of these bands.
Well, we were definitely part of the, alternative or underground kind of thing there in San Francisco, and we were definitely in the first dances put on by the Family Dog, the original Family Dog, at the Longshoremen's Auditorium in San Francisco in probably late 68 and 65. So we were definitely went right into the scene from the Virginia City was our first gig, kind of got warmed up. People from San Francisco were coming up to see us, then we just continued being part of it all, and like we're on a bunch of posters, and we did some headlining too.
Playing back my interview with Dan Hicks, the late Dan Hicks, from December of 2004.
I've talked to your mother and I've talked to your dad. They say they've tried, but it's all in vain. I've begged and I've pleaded, I've even got mad. Now we must face it. You give me a pain. How can I miss you when you won't go away? Keep telling you day after day, but you won't listen, you always stay and stay. How can I miss you when you won't go away? Your never-ending presence really cramps my style. I dream that it won't always be the same. At first I was attracted, but after a while, have you ever heard?